Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. What do you think is Christ's greatest concern? Is it the moral decline of America? Is it Israel and Palestine? The Ukraine? Is it American liberal politics versus American conservative politics? I don't think so. I think Christ's greatest concern is this: when you die, when I die, you go for all eternity, either to heaven or to hell. I think that's His greatest concern. Where are people on this planet going to spend all eternity? Which is why I think Christ's greatest concern is the salvation of souls by the preaching of the gospel. In other words, Christ's greatest concern is world missions, getting the message of Christ out. We're going to talk about what is God doing around the world in world missions with an expert. I want to introduce our friend. He's been here before. His name is Dave Gibson. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Tom.
Dave has been missions pastor at Grace Church of Eden Prairie for 35 years. And how many missionaries does that big church support?
131 in 51 countries.
Wow. Right. Wow. So we're gonna talk to Dave. And I always liked, and you've heard this before if you've watched our show a lot, but I always like to ask the question at the beginning before we get into our topic. Dave, how did you come to know Christ?
I was 17 years old. Actually, I back up a little bit. I grew up in a Christian home, mm-hmm. North St. Paul, here in the Twin Cities. And strong church-going family. But I was really disillusioned with the church and organized religion. I saw a lot of inconsistencies there, and frankly, I was a lot more interested in selfish pursuits. I was an athlete growing up, played football, basketball, and baseball. Captain in all three of my sports, dating the homecoming queen, kind mm-hmm. of the captain of my own ship, master of my own destiny. And and the Lord and the church was really on the shelf in my life. Good buddy of mine committed suicide. He was a teammate of mine on the football and basketball team. Found his body floating in the Mississippi River, jumped off the high bridge over at the Mississippi. And I started to ask myself some questions. What's really bothered me that my friend Mark had taken his life? And started to ask, what's my purpose in life? Where would I spend eternity? And you don't think about your mortality too much when you're a high school kid.
Yeah.
Shortly after that, I went to church, and the pastor was preaching on the ultimate rejection in Matthew 7, when Jesus said, in that day, when we stand before Him, He says, many, many people will say to me, Lord, Lord, profess Christ, but not really possess Christ. Didn't we do all of these things in Your name? And then He says to them,
I
never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It's like I was the only one sitting in the church that day. The man asked the question, if you die today, do you know for certain you'll go to heaven, have eternal life? And I really couldn't answer that question. And he said, eternity is way too long to be wrong. And shared the gospel with me. God created us to be with Him. Our sins separate us from God, and sins can't be removed by being a good person or going to church or being religious, hoping. God's not at the top of a ladder saying, climb, 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 but God came down to a cross. His name was Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, was buried, rose again, ascended into heaven, sent His Spirit into the world, and we could receive His Holy Spirit.
Wonderful.
And I received Christ, and my life has never been the same. I put my trust in Christ 17 years old, went off to college, played some football, and got involved in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Met my wife at the University of Minnesota. She was a cheerleader. Saw her jumping up and down on the sidelines, and all my thoughts weren't totally spiritual when I saw her. But she loved Jesus more than she loved me, and I loved Jesus more than I loved her.
Wow.
And the Lord brought us together, and we've been married 39 years. The Lord gave us 5 kids and 12
Wonderful.
Grandkids.
Wow.
So I, uh, I just shared that story to a Delta agent on the phone this morning. I try to share Christ with one person every day, and and it's such good news.
So you got saved in the church.
Yeah, I did, actually.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I had a serious drug problem growing up.
Okay.
I got drugged to church all the time. No, I was, but you know, it was more my problem. I was a selfish, egotistical young guy.
But you were in a good church that you got saved through.
I did, yeah.
Well, wonderful. There's your story, Dave. And now we're going to get into Christ's greatest concern, getting missions out there so people can be saved for eternity. And we need to pray first. Let's pray.
Yes.
Father, we pray your Holy Spirit now will move through all the listeners of this program. Some of them are not themselves believers, that they would come to Christ today. Mm-hmm. But Lord, all the people who are believers, but maybe they've never supported world missions financially or with their prayers, just every Christian we know is supposed to be involved in this. So Lord, speak to our hearts now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm. Well, my first question for you was going to be, what exactly is the missionary's message? When you go to Kenya, or you go to Pakistan, or whatever, what specifically do you preach so that people can come to Christ and go to the right place for all eternity? You kind of just did it, but do it again. Do it again, please.
It's the gospel. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15,
exactly.
3 to 5, what did he say? I deliver to you of first importance the gospel by which we're saved, the gospel we received, gospel we proclaim, that Christ died on the cross for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and 3 days later he rose again
according to
the scriptures. But it's
Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead is the way people get saved.
Right. There's a little acronym that we use. It's actually a meta narrative of the whole Bible that really spells out the gospel. G-O-S-P-E-L. God created us to be with him, but man fell into sin. Our sins separate us from God. And sins can't be removed by good works or being religious. But paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. And everyone who trusts in him alone will have eternal life. And that life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever.
What's P?
Paying the price for sin.
E is?
Everyone who trusts in him alone will have eternal life.
And L is?
Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever.
Let's see if I can do them. God created us for a purpose. O is?
Our sins.
Our sins separate us from God. S is?
Sins can't be removed by good works.
Right. P is?
Paying the price for sin.
Is what Jesus
did. Died and rose again.
E is?
Everyone who trusts in him alone will have eternal life.
And L?
Life with Jesus starts now and lasts
Let's
forever.
Let's do that for the next 20 minutes, Dave.
Well, I teach that all around the world. And it's a story of the whole Bible.
And the word gospel means good news.
Right.
Because when the Apostle Paul would preach, the people would say, well, that's good news.
Yes. You know,
that we can be forgiven.
Amen.
All right. So, Dave, one more thing about the message.
You can get that in Life in 6 Words. There's an app that spells out gospel.
Okay.
My good buddy with Dare to Share Ministries, Greg Steer.
So what would
develop
they
develop that? Go to lifeinsixwords.com.
Okay. Lifeinsixwords.com.
Right. It spells out gospel, and you can learn how
Wonderful.
To present it. And you can even, if you can swipe on an app, you can share the gospel.
All right. One more question about the message. Before we get into what's happening around the world. I'm a Lutheran, and I used to be an ELCA Lutheran. That's the very liberal branch. The head bishop of the Lutheran Church told a Chicago newspaper, Bishop Eaton, is there a hell? There may be a hell, but I think it's empty. Mm. And the number of missionaries in the ELCA Lutheran Church has just shrunk. Mm. Well, if everybody's going to heaven, bring the missionaries home. Mm. And it's not just the Lutherans and the Presbyterian Church, PCUSA. No, that's the bad one. Presbyterian Church, PCUSA is the liberal one. A lot of these mainline Protestant denominations, their missionaries have just shrunk because of the heresy of universalism that everybody goes to heaven, whether you believe or not. Mm. And the Catholic Church. Mm. The Pope has said twice that if atheists just do good, they'll go to heaven. Now, how would you respond to what I just said, or what they said?
Well, in Galatians chapter 1, Paul says, if anyone, even an angel in heaven,
or a bishop in the church,
preaches the gospel contrary to the one I'm preaching, let him be accursed, anathema.
Yeah.
Which means he says, hey, if you didn't get it the first time, let me say it again.
Yeah, he did it twice.
He repeated himself.
Well, this is Galatians 2 or 1?
I think it's Galatians 1.
I think you're right. Okay. So read Galatians 1. If your bishop, pope, or pastor is saying, well, there's all kinds of roads to heaven. No, Jesus said, John 14:6, I'm it, period.
Yeah.
I'm the only way.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the message. I have a friend who, when I get upset, it only happened once, but I was very perturbed about what is happening to the churches in America on how liberal and universalistic they've become. And he said, Tom, you got to look overseas. Yeah, America is in trouble, but God is doing amazing things overseas. You travel all over the world. Tell us some of the things that God is doing overseas.
Well, I just got back from Egypt a couple of weeks ago. We had almost 7,000 people gathered in a place called Bayt El Wadi on the outskirts of Cairo, Egypt, for a prayer summit.
7,000?
People from 22 countries from the MENA region. MENA is Middle East, North Africa. And we had people praying from sunup to sundown for 2 days at a two-day prayer summit. And out of that, we gathered 400 leaders from these different countries in the Middle East and North Africa to talk about the finish lines of the Great Commission. How can we get a Bible, a believer, and a body of Christ for everyone, everywhere?
Church, body of Christ.
Yeah, right. And so God is moving in an amazing way. We had 2,000 people in Manila about a month prior to that, and we're trying to get on every, really reach this next generation for Jesus Christ. There's an initiative called 2BC. There's 2 billion children in the world today. And trying to reach those 2 billion children, but also mobilize those children to reach their own peers for Jesus Christ, to be a part of the mission force, not just the mission field. There's another initiative called that we're working, it's called Every Teen Everywhere, Hearing the Gospel from a Friend, trying to reach a billion teenagers. So God is bringing the body of Christ together in unprecedented ways for prayer. There's this massive convergence of prayer movements and gospel advancing movements that are coming together. And I really believe God is really ramping up his church and the body of Christ, and it's happening a lot more around the world. We might not see it readily here in the United States.
We're losing it, and they're gaining the gospel. So where in the world, I mean, this is going to, I'm just guess for me here, Dave. Where, what countries is God really moving, and you're seeing lots of conversions? And where don't you see much success at all right now?
I think the global south is really where you see the gospel trending. In Latin America, Africa, Southeast Asia, the global south and the global north is where you see a serious decline in the gospel.
That's America and Europe.
Europe and America.
It's so sad. Right. You go to Europe, you see these wonderful, huge Gothic cathedrals that are 900 years old, and they're empty because in France, for instance, France just became the first country on earth to officially vote to put abortion as a national right into their constitution. People were rejoicing, and their churches are empty. So it's just sad. So the global north, not so well. The global south is better. You know, I've heard before that the hardest people to reach for the gospel are Muslims. Do you think that's true?
They're difficult.
but I hear about they get dreams or something.
1.6 billion Muslims in the world today, and they say that there's more Muslims have come to Christ here in the last 20 years than the previous 1,400 years.
Is that right?
Total, yeah. So there is a real move. There's a lot of disillusionment in the Muslim world as they look at what's happening in, with ISIS, and they say, is this really what we believe? And many are becoming atheists. And in the process, the Lord is revealing himself in amazing ways. They say as many as 25 to 30% of Muslims will have some kind of vision or dream.
I've heard this.
And it's usually accompanied by somebody coming, and, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ.
But, and, you know, I often get a Muslim Uber driver when I'm traveling. And if you're a Muslim watching this, Christians don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God and three persons.
That's right.
And we believe in Jesus too. You don't believe he died on the cross in your place for your sins. I think they think Judas died on the cross, mm-hmm. some of them. Mm-hmm. And we do believe that Christ rose from the dead and that he's not just a prophet. Muslims even believe in the virgin birth of Christ.
Right.
But they don't believe that he's fully God, fully man like we do.
Right.
So, all right. The first biggest religion on earth, if you include the Catholics, the Orthodox, and everybody else, is the Christian Church.
Right.
Second biggest is Muslims. Mm-hmm. Where do you travel most when you do your ministry?
Well, I've been in 100+ countries through the years. I'm an old guy. I've been around the world a lot, but spent a lot of time in Southeast Asia. I've been in Vietnam, a lot in the Middle East, Iraq. A lot of countries in the MENA region, Middle East, North Africa. Just got back from Egypt, as I mentioned.
Okay.
And
well, let me pick your brain then. You know, what's God doing in Vietnam?
Wow. I've gone to Vietnam every year since 1994, except 2020 when we had COVID.
And what is God doing in Vietnam? Because is it Buddhist or what is it in Vietnam?
Predominantly Buddhist, and ancestor worship. And there's probably 2% of the population would be evangelical Christians. They've got a population of about 100 million, maybe 2 million Christians in the country.
Okay.
We've been able to partner up with, we've got about 14 sister church relationships throughout the country now. And we just launched a church planting movement working with the Timothy Initiative.
I love that group.
Up in the north. And we graduated 685 church planters. We train them for a year and a half, take them through disciples making disciples, and through a year and a half of intensive Bible study, Old Testament 1 and 2, New Testament Gospels, epistles, general letters, Bible doctrine, a little bit of apologetics, church history.
So you're training the pastors?
We train church planters.
Okay.
So we'll have a Paul who will gather 12 to 20 Timothy's, and they'll train them. It's discipleship, and it's all obedience-based discipleship. You know, Jesus said, teach them to observe or teach them to obey all that I've commanded you.
And so do they start home churches, or do they build a building? Or what
do they do? House churches.
Okay.
Yeah, we say, what is a church? It's a gathering together of believers who come together to worship the Lord, study the scriptures, pray, fellowship together in the Spirit, practice the ordinances, and are sent out to evangelism and make disciples who make disciples, all under the authority of Jesus.
That's
the head of the church and his under-shepherds, biblically qualified church leaders.
Yep.
Nothing about a church building, no salary, no seminary degree.
Okay.
But that's Acts 2, 42 to 47.
And Dave, years ago I asked you, tell me some good mission groups that I can give my money to where it's going to go right to the salvation of souls. You told me the Timothy Initiative, and they're great. And so
amazing.
If you're looking to give money to just promote the gospel, Google the Timothy Initiative. All right, but
they have 140,000 Timothies around the world now. It's just
isn't that
like
great?
A juggernaut.
I went
right
to their
now.
Conference. I thought,
it's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's move to Iraq. What's going on in Iraq? Because that's heavily Muslim.
Yeah, we've got four sister church relationships. One in Baghdad. We had one in Mosul, up in Dahok in Erbil. Two now in Erbil. But there's churches, and we're starting a Timothy Initiative church planting movement in the country there, working with church leaders. We had a conference up in northern Iraq. We had almost 800 Iraqis, mostly Kurdish background.
Wow.
Almost 99% of them were Muslim background. Baptized 10 Muslim converts. Fox News heard about it. They sent their Baghdad bureau, sent a team up, and they actually got a little video clip. I was on Brett Baer's special report.
Oh, you were?
Showed a pastor from Minneapolis preaching, and then I was baptizing 10 Muslim converts.
Is it legal to evangelize in Iraq?
No.
Is it legal to convert from Islam to Christianity in Iraq?
There's not a problem if you're bringing the gospel to people in the minority population, which would be Christian background.
Christians can evangelize Christians.
Right.
If I convert to Christianity from Islam in Iraq, could I go to jail for that?
Well, it could be severe punishment. There's a lot of cultural repercussions.
Like
to
your family kicks you out.
Honor killings, things like that.
Honor killings.
Yeah, I've got to be careful what I'm saying.
What about in Vietnam? Is there persecution in Vietnam?
Still persecution there.
There is.
Especially in the rural areas, in the tribal regions. There's 57 tribal groups throughout the country. And it's gotten better with the government is trying to normalize relations with the West. They've been on the list of most persecuted countries, and been in the top 10 list. So they're trying
Vietnam?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
So it's getting better. It was really difficult in the 90s.
The worst place is North Korea.
Yeah.
Do you know of anything going on in North Korea?
Yeah, there's...
And not if you can talk about it.
Yeah, there's an underground movement there. And much like China, through the house church movement, there's what we call DMM and CPMs, disciple-making movements and church-planting movements. And it's really the house church movement now. They estimate there's well over 100 million Christians now in China.
Wow.
And near that scale.
But they're persecuted.
Very, very much so. And so there is a recognized church in China which has some level of freedom to meet, although under the current leadership there it's really becoming very oppressive.
But what about India?
India is becoming very difficult. Nepal... There's a lot of opposition, under the current leadership in India. It's very, very difficult, and I know some of our workers over there have suffered severely.
How about Africa? I mean, that's tons of countries, but again, we're probably talking the Muslim countries are the hardest to get into.
Yeah. Sub-Sahara, it's a lot easier, and you've got even in northern Nigeria, Boko Haram, groups like that. There's terrorist groups and Al-Shabaab and other expressions of radical Muslims that are really making it difficult
and
for.
Do you know the end Christians. Of this? Do you remember when 200 girls got kidnapped from that Christian school in what country was that? Do you remember?
I think it was Nigeria.
Yeah. And then they took the Muslim radicals took these 200 girls, married some of them. Whatever, did they ever go home? Do you know the end of that story?
I don't.
Okay,
I really
sorry.
Don't.
Yeah,
it's difficult. More people have died for the cause of Christ in this century than the previous 19 centuries.
Isn't
combined.
That incredible? People
so
don't know that.
People still suffering for Christ. So we need to pray for the persecuted church.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
And Dave, every Christian should somehow be involved in missions. And every church should. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the church I served for 29 years, we had missionaries we'd support. Some churches don't support any missionaries.
Right.
But what is your advice to somebody watching this who has they really want to be involved? What should they do to become involved?
Well, Jesus said the first thing to do when you see the multitudes, you're moved with compassion. I think, say, Lord, would you give me a heart of compassion? But the first thing he said, don't go form a committee and start giving money to this cause. He says, pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. That send forth literally in the original language is thrust out or hurl out laborers, that we need to pray that the Lord of the harvest will raise up laborers. And you know what happened when they started praying that way? Matthew 9, well, Matthew 10, they became an answer to their own prayers.
They did.
So I say, Lord, here am I, Lord, send me. You can look for some on-ramps in your local church. Find a church that has a missions focus and get involved with that. There's a lot of mission agencies that you can plug into, that like the Timothy Initiative. There's all kinds of mission agencies. I'd research that. And
good.
But begin just in your own life. And I say, identify your five people in your relational network. Start praying for them, caring for them, and then look for ways to lovingly and appropriately share Christ with
and
them.
And even if it
every
takes,
believer a witness for Christ.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go overseas to be a missionary.
No.
You can evangelize your barber.
Bloom where you're planted.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And how does a church, let's say somebody's watching this and they're in a church that doesn't support missions. How do you get involved in that? Do you know?
I'd find there's a lot of great mission agencies that you can plug into that have been around for a lot of years. I'd pray about which one, but I'd be happy to direct people.
Okay. In fact, let's put stuff on the screen. if you're interested in hearing more about this, is it Go Day USA? Is that right?
Right.
GoDayUSA.org.
Yeah, you can go to TTI.org.
TTI for the Timothy Initiative.
Right, the Timothy Initiative. Dare to Share is another great
okay.
ministry.
And you there's know, your church if
yeah,
people want to support
they can, grace.church, and if they want to get more information, I can help direct them and
great.
Be happy to
great.
Give
well,
them some on-ramps.
I think we just got a few minutes left, but one more question.
Yeah.
America used to be the biggest supporter of missionaries worldwide.
Right.
We used to send out more missionaries than any single nation. Is that still true? I mean, we need
no.
missionaries to come to us now.
Right.
But are we still the biggest sender of missions?
We're the number two receiving country in the world.
Are we?
Next to Brazil.
Really?
Yeah. And I would say Korea has surpassed the U.S. in terms of sending out
really?
Missionaries. Yeah. The U.S. is still
yeah, people don't
there
know
in
that.
The top
Korea
three or
is
four.
Heavily Christian.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
People are sending out what?
The U.S. is still sending out a large number. That's why we need to pray for the American church, that
yeah.
we continue to stay strong.
I think Satan wants to destroy America
right.
because we send out all these missionaries.
Cut off the supply chain, you know, the giving and the praying and the going.
Yeah.
I was in a mosque in Baghdad. Actually, we went out. There's about 500 refugees in a settlement where Saddam Hussein had one of his compounds
yeah.
and went out to feed some people. And the imam came out from a local community mosque and invited us in for tea to express gratitude. I was the only American in the group. Sitting in that mosque, 35 men sitting on this rug, and we're having tea.
We got to wrap it up.
We got to wrap it up.
But just what
Anyways,
happened? Real quick.
I said, God loves you and loves you and you and you and you. And I said, you know how much he loves you this much. I spread out his
Did
arms. Well, for an hour, we ended up talking about Christ.
In the mosque.
Three of them ended up coming to Jesus.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was
wonderful.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, Dave, thank you
Tom,
so much.
So good to be with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you bet. And
I wish we had more time, but another
too.
Time.
But everybody, our main point is start praying for missions, start giving your money for missions, make sure your church is supporting missions, and pray tonight for somebody you can evangelize. God bless you. See you next week.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.